Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of CPA Review and More. We are pleased to bring you the number one podcast for CPAs and CPA candidates. If you'd like to learn more about how Yeager CPA Review can help you, find us on our website at YeagerCPAReview.com. Now, here's your host, Phil Yeager.
Hello, everyone. This is Phil Yeager, and welcome to CPA Review and More, a podcast which talks about the CPA exam and also more other topics outside of the CPA exam, because when I started this, I always said, how much can you talk about the CPA exam? Well, today I have more. My name is not Stephanie Moore, it's Stephanie Peterson. And Stephanie is with a company called, what's your company name?
Likeable Local, just as a refresher.
Likeable Local. I wrote that down here. Okay. Anyway, it's with Likeable Local because she's a very likable person, right?
I think so.
And she lives she's in Portland, Maine.
Yeah.
God bless her, the winters, I never could take them, really. Although I did go to school in Rhode Island, but I don't think it was as cold as Maine. And what I thought we'd talk about today, because Stephanie is the foremost expert on social media, right? If you went to the dictionary, you looked up the words social media, her picture would come right out there.
I highly doubt that, but...
All right. Is that correct? Did I get that right?
I don't know if my picture shows up in the dictionary, but sure.
All right. Whatever that was for. Anyway, I thought we'd talk about social media. I'll tell you that Stephanie does our social media, and I happened to meet her, would you say your employer, your boss, at a interesting, once again, Charity Buzz. I've said before, I contribute to them. And what it is they're not a tax-exempt organization, right? They act as an intermediary, which means that if I want to have lunch with someone, all right, I make a contribution. If I'm the highest bidder, all right, they arrange for the whole thing. And I made a bid with her boss, okay? And actually, it was about a year until I actually met him. But, all right, who do you work for?
So the company I work for is Likeable Local. Our founder, Dave Kirpin, was the person that you won the bid with for the social media consultation or conversation. And he's been in social media for quite a long time. His wife, Carrie, and himself had set up a company called Likeable Media back in, 2005, 2006. And they work with the big companies. So, you know, all of those big corporations, Fortune 500 companies that have thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars to spend on a retainer for a social media marketing company. And a couple of years after that, Dave was talking to some local business owners in our area and just was so blown away by the fact that they didn't have somebody helping them with social media or didn't have the time to dedicate to learning social media. And there is a lot of moving parts to it, and it hasn't gotten easier since then. And so he had the brilliant idea of launching Likeable Local, which helped small businesses who have smaller budgets, you know, not the tens of thousands of dollars that say, you know, Entenmann's or, Zenni Optical or any of those big companies have.
Okay, so how I actually met Dave, and Dave was nice enough to spend an hour with me, and the person at the time was working with us, who has left, gone out to another company, but she learned a lot from Dave. I listened, because social marketing is not my thing, all right? So anyway, Miranda, all right, she learned a lot from Dave. And actually, as a result of that, and because I knew Dave only took big clients, and I do remember getting on my knees and begging him, and I said, will you take Yeager CPA Review? Please, 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 please. And he said, of course. So anyhow, he was very nice, and he gave us a lot of good ideas. And actually, he's been on Today Show, right? And he's written many books. Am I correct?
Yeah, he's written several books, both on social media topics and non-social media topics. He wrote a children's book about being normal and fitting in versus being yourself. And, you know, that was something that he wrote for one of his children who was struggling with, you know, bullying at school. And, he's just a generally amazing person and just really wants to have the best for everybody. He doesn't have a bad bone in his body. He's just a great guy.
That's great. And tell us about your background. You came out of school.
Yeah.
And where did you go to school?
So I graduated in 2009 from Manhattan College with, of all things, a chemical engineering degree. And in 2009, as probably most of your listeners know, that's when the proverbial crap hit the fan and everybody was out of a job. Steph,
what exactly does that mean, that crap hit the fan? I'm really a very naive person and I don't understand those. You can explain it to me later, but anyway, go ahead.
So I was struggling to find a job in my industry. You know, a lot of pharmaceutical companies at that time were either merging, cutting budgets, people were just out of jobs. And as somebody who's an entry-level position was getting beat out by people who had 5-10 years experience, willing to take that pay cut in order to have job stability. So I took a couple of gig jobs, odds and ends, consulting. And in 2013 is when I came across Likeable Local, looking for a customer success manager. And basically what a customer success manager is somebody who's super passionate about the businesses they work with and being able to optimize everything as much as possible for her clients. And so I went in for the interview and, you know, explained to them, hey, I have my own personal social media presence. I've worked with a couple of small businesses and companies and, you know, my mom's friends and, you know, things like that here and there. And, you know, they were just blown away by the fact that I was such a go-getter. And, you know, the next day I got the call for the job and I've been working for Likeable Local for over 7 years now. So that's pretty much my story. I just took my chemical engineering prowess of problem solving and put it to social media versus numbers and stuff like that.
So you don't really use your chemical engineering background for what you do now, do you? Seriously, do you use it?
No. So the thing is that I don't use the exact knowledge, but there were a lot of aspects of social media that I look at. It's almost like a problem-solving, pragmatic look at it. You know, a lot of people that I work with now have marketing or communications backgrounds. You know, they have the degrees in those subjects. And even then when they went to school, social media marketing was not a topic that was covered ever, really. So now we're starting to see, as we hire new team members, that they do have these marketing skills. They are learning all of these things. Whereas, you know, when we were coming up, we were basically learning it for ourselves because there was nobody else out there doing it. So I do use a lot of my analytical and data side of it, but I don't use the actual part of like the mathematical or chemical part of it.
So what attracted you to it? You seem like a born salesperson. You really do. We spoke to you, I remember. You were very nice to talk with and very helpful. And I think that's very important no matter what you do. All right.
Yeah.
You have to be, you want to show people you want to help them. And that really impressed me very well. And also, I love your glasses, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
But that wasn't the reason we went with Likeable Local. But no, you really know your stuff. I can tell because you talk with authority. You know, you really do. Do you feel you have to have a sales background? Should you be a salesperson? All right. Do you get involved with a lot of rejection? People ask, is a rejection like any other sales area or not?
Great question. So I usually don't do sales. With marketing, there is always that sales aspect. You always have to have your salesperson hat on when you're writing copy or you're creating images or you're, you're looking at the data from any ads or campaigns that you run. So there definitely is that natural sales aspect to it. I don't consider myself a salesperson. I'll tell you like it is. If you want it, great. You don't want it, I'm not going to force it on you. That's never my goal. And if you want more information, I'll give you more information. You want more data, I'll give you more data. And that's kind of how I approach the clients that I talk to. And if I think, hey, you know, this is going to be really important, I think this is a great direction to move in, this is my case. If I make my case and you're still not interested, that's fine. If I still feel really strongly about it, I'll say, hey, I'm totally okay with your decision, but I still think we should move in the bigger ad campaign direction, or I think we should really rebrand. You're not really getting as much hits. And, you know, a lot of times clients will come back after that no and say, you know what, you're right.
When you interviewed for the job, did they ask you anything about your communication skills?
Yes. Communication was a really big part of my job because I talk to clients all day, you know, or email communication, being clear. You know, they asked me to write up an email for clients as a part of my portfolio for the application. You know, they asked me to write tweets. They asked me to write Facebook posts. And this was all part of the application process because they wanted to see how concise I could be within the very small limit of a post or a tweet, and making sure that I am able to communicate with clients and be as clear as possible. And communication is always really, really big. And, you know, a lot of my clients just don't have the time to communicate, which causes problems. And that's when we see, okay, what's the best way to get this information out? Is it a phone call? Is it a Zoom call? Is it a email? Is it a text? Is it, you know, what way is the best way to communicate with you? Because we need to get this information out there. We need to make sure that we're on the same page for the optimization and for the objectives of your campaigns. You know, if I'm looking for approval for a post, I don't have 7 days to wait because 7 days is the promotion's ended or the special is ended. So it's really important to make sure that we're constantly communicating with our clients and making sure that they are aware of what's going on, whether that's even changes to Facebook. You know, Facebook makes changes all of the time. How does this affect your campaigns? How does this affect your data? How does this affect the results that you're getting? So it's really important for us to make sure that we're communicating all of that. And, you know, again, that's why clients hire us, because they don't have the time or the bandwidth to be able to dedicate to finding all of this information out, you know, and it's really important to keep up with it, because if you don't, your competitors will.
But which form of communication do you prefer with your clients? Do you think emails, or what do you think is the best form of communication in business today?
So I like emails because I can search. You know, if I'm like, oh man, what was it that we talked about last time? I can search through my email and I can find that. Or I can search for a phrase where it's like, I know I typed this phrase in this email, I'm going to search for this phrase, and then I can pull that up. And it's also a record for my clients as well. You know, so after I have a phone call, I always try to send notes, or I try to send a text that says, hey, don't forget we had this conversation. We talked about X, Y, and Z, and I need that photo from you for the campaign by Friday so we can launch it. So those are the kinds of things that I like to do. You know, text message is also really great. Again, actual text searchable things. You know, if you have a conversation, sometimes clients forget, sometimes I forget. If I don't write it down, then it's lost in the ether, and it's really important to have that trail. You know, so that's why I like email and text communication a lot better. But sometimes things may get lost in translation in an email. You know, sometimes the tone of the email could be misconstrued, and then a client could be very upset with you, and you're like, why are you upset? You know, and they're just like, oh, you were just so rude. I was like, I am so sorry. I never meant to come off as rude. Let's have a conversation. Then we hop on a phone call and everything is great. So, you know, it all depends on the client. Some clients hate email and text message. They're so much more auditory and they like having the phone calls and it's much more personal. Some clients just don't have the time. They send me a three-letter or three-word text to confirm everything, you know? So I just like to make sure that I'm communicating with clients on the level that they are at, because there's the golden rule, which is treat others as you'd like to be treated. But then there's the platinum rule, and the platinum rule is treat others as they want to be treated. So I always try to do that in my life, because you don't know what the best way to get that person to communicate with you is. So you just have to meet them on their level.
When I start a business, all right, I have to obviously let people know I'm out there. And social marketing is, how many years has it been around, would you say?
So yesterday was actually the 10-year anniversary of Instagram, and Facebook will be celebrated, I'm not 100% sure, but they launched in 2004. So they've been around for about 16 years. The others are about the same age, anywhere between 16 to 7 years old.
Now, there's different types of social marketing. For a new business, obviously, the amount of capital they have is very important. It's cash, all right? If I start a small business, and I don't have a lot of money, can I still go out there and do social marketing?
But yeah, so for small businesses that are just starting out, totally understandable that your capital is really important and you want to spend it wisely. If you're just starting out, your best bet is to educate yourself as much as possible and DIY as much as possible to save that capital in the beginning. And what I mean by that is learn how Facebook ads work, learn how content works, learn every facet of Instagram, figure out and calculate what is working for you. People kind of take the buckshot approach because they're like, oh, all social media is the same, you know, whatever, I'll do this all across the board. And that's not the case. You need to make sure, okay, who am I trying to reach on Instagram? Is it the younger demographic? Am I looking for the Gen Zers, the young millennials? On Facebook, I want to reach baby boomers. I want to reach, you know, Gen Zers. On Pinterest, I want to have moms, women, you know, people who are doers. On Twitter, I want to be, you know, trending. I want to be topical. I want to have the latest breaking news for my industry. You know, it's all very, very different for each network. So I always suggest when you're first starting out, the first thing to do is, who is your audience? Who are you trying to reach? Second is, what is the lowest hanging fruit? Most of the time it's Facebook and Instagram. Those are the most widely used options, and they have really great tools and suites for businesses. And then thirdly, what is your objective? Are you just trying to get your brand out there? Are you looking for conversions? Are you looking for lead generation? Are you looking for email collection and phone number collection? Are you trying to get traffic to your website? You know, those are all of the things to keep in mind. And yes, there are a lot of moving parts, and Facebook and Instagram make it really, really easy. They have what they call, apropos actually, blueprint courses on Facebook that take you through the ins and outs of how to run a business page on social media. And it's really, really helpful. Our team is blueprint certified. We took the courses, we took the exams, and, you know, but again, it's also one of those things where it's always changing. Facebook changes constantly. You can wake up the next morning and it can be completely different.
You just scared the hell out of me when I asked you about, you know, what do you do if you're a new person in business about social marketing? Now, I would automatically say, I don't have a clue where to start with that. All right. Now, you said you should read a lot. Read a lot?
Yeah. There's,
seriously, can just a person just start doing that without someone who's knowledgeable in that area? I say to you, all right, Steph, you just said Facebook, Instagram. Is Instagram part of Western Union? Is that the how do you know which form of social media? Now, of course, you know, but how would I know what form of social media is for my business?
Yeah. So there are some really great resources out there. So if you're listening and you want to learn more about where you should start, Social Media Examiner is one of my favorite blogs. I sign up for their newsletter. They send out 3 to 4 articles a day about things that are changing with social media, the demographics. They do a lot of really great surveys of professional marketers like myself and others out there that are about the demographics that are on each social network, you know, what the active amount of users are, where they're located. There's a lot of information out there. So if you don't know where to start, that's a good spot. Secondly, I would always say start with Facebook and Instagram. They are, again, the biggest social networks in the planet, you know, in the universe, on the planet. So those are easy to start with. It's really easy.
What do I
easy.
Want to do with them? I mean, what can they do for me to help me market my business?
So it's a great start if you don't have a website launched yet.
You should have a website. Is that the first thing? Every company should develop a website.
Yes and no. I mean, with the amount of social content, I don't have clients, but a lot of local businesses in our area don't have websites. They just use social media. And especially now during the quarantine and the pandemic, a lot of people are not updating their websites as often because they have to pay somebody to do it, or, you know, it's too bulky or too clunky. So they turn to social media because that's where everybody is now. You know, if you're stuck at home, you're trying to connect with your mom or trying to connect with your friends, that's where people are, and you want to meet them where they are. So I would suggest Facebook and Instagram are the two places to start, even if you don't have a website. You can launch a website, but it depends on what you're trying to sell or what you're trying to accomplish. You know, if it's easier for you to just have the Facebook presence, by all means, feel free. You know, then you can dedicate a lot more of your time and your resources to making one place really great. But websites do help with SEO. They do help with search. So, you know, don't overlook it, but you can definitely start without one.
Yeah. I mean, how much do you think a simple website would cost to get going?
I mean, I personally, it really runs the gambit, right? So first you have to buy a domain name, which can cost anywhere from, you know, $1 to $3,000, depending on how in demand that domain name is. And then finding a web developer and choosing which platform you want to use for your website is also really important. And then deciding, okay, do I just want them to develop my website and then I'll just take all of the updating in-house myself so I don't have to pay them an hourly rate? Or do you want somebody to constantly tweak it? And the complexity of a website really depends. So if you're going to have like an online commerce, e-commerce portion of your website, that's going to be a lot more costly than, say, you know, somebody like us where we're service-based and you just fill out a form and then we give you a call. So it all depends. It's a wide range of things, but you can start your own website. You know, there's a lot of really good free hosting tools if you just wanted to start out and play around with it. And then, you know, they're pretty low price options as well if you wanted to have a bigger suite of tools or more analytics behind it. You know, I've personally used WordPress and Squarespace and created my own websites on those before, just fooling around with it. And they're fairly simple and easy to use if you have, not even tech savvy. If you're good at like emailing, or if you're good at like drag and drop, even Excel spreadsheets, if you have any of that knowledge, then it's pretty easy to do your own website.
All right, let's take an example here. Let's assume that I'm a CPA. I'm starting a CPA firm called Will. This is my new partner's names, by the way.
Okay.
Will, Cheatham, and Howe. So I say to my partners, Will, Cheatham, all right? All right. Hey, we want to go after clients now. You know, we decide, you know, we want to do tax work. Okay.
Okay.
All right. You know, that's not a generalist in many respects, because I'm finding that the people who do well in accounting or more or less have a niche market, you know. I live in a small town, all right, such as Portland, Maine. It's not a lot of people living there, is that correct?
No, it's about 60,000 in Portland.
Would you think with the number of people, 60,000, that I could actually set up a firm right now and be able to establish a firm and make money, or do you have to go to an area that has more people?
Well, seeing as if you want to be a CPA in Maine, Portland is your best option. It's the most populated city, and I'll put city in quotes, in the state. And not only there's Portland, but there's a lot of really high populated areas around Portland and the town surrounding it. So I live in South Portland, and South Portland has about 70 to 75,000 people in it. And then you have Westbrook, which is also fairly large. There's about 20, 25,000 people. So with those three towns right within the area, you know, you can do pretty well. So yeah, definitely do your analysis, see how many people would actually be in that market. Check your competitors, you know, before you open up in a market, how many people are actually in there? You know, are you going to be, you know, one in 1,000 CPAs in the area, or is there an opportunity there? You know, is there a vacuum? Is there no one there to be able, are people traveling, you know, 2, 3, 4 towns away to go to a CPA? And then determine your niche. You know, if you just want to do taxes, are you doing personal taxes? Are you doing business taxes? Are you, you know, doing a different, you know, do you want to focus on single people, or do you want to focus on married people? You want to focus on families, you know, that's all really important information to understand about the demographic that you're looking to reach.
Should I hire a consultant to start off with?
I would definitely hire a business consultant if you're looking to start your own business, because there's not only just finding a location and market, but there's so many other logistical things around it too. You know, what's the startup capital for a business like this? Do you want to have a brick and mortar? Do you want to have there's WeWork space, not necessarily WeWork, but there's Workshare spaces. Do you want to start off small? Do you have clients that you can start out with first? How much capital do you have currently, and how much do you need? You know, those are really important questions, and a business consultant can absolutely help you start that out. Usually with a client, that we have, they're usually already in market. They usually work with a business lawyer to help them establish LLCs, establish licensing in the communities that they're working in, establish state, local, federal, you know, information that they need to put out there. There's a lot of other moving parts besides just marketing the business and starting out. So I would definitely talk to a business consultant or a business lawyer before starting or even considering going into other markets. And then obviously, once you have everything established, then you want to start marketing. You say, okay, this is the day that we're going to open. I want to get my name out there. You can start out with basically what I like to call internet billboards. They're Facebook brand awareness ads and Instagram brand awareness ads. They're just meant to get your name out and your brand out to as many people as possible. So then that way there's recognition before you start asking them for information or go to your website or fill out a lead generation form or sign up for your newsletter. So those are definitely the important things about branding.
Hi, this is Phil Yeager again. And I just want to tell you that at CPA Review and More, we do try to bring on guests. And a lot of times people will say, can you get us someone who's in this area or that area? And I try to do that. And generally I can. So please, if you have any questions, you can reach me at my phone number, 301-874-4900. I'm at extension 5. 301-874-4900, extension 5. I will answer any questions you have. CPA Review, all right? But I won't do your tax return for free. Don't try to put that on me. All right. Anyway, I don't do tax returns anymore. So anyway, take care, everyone. Thanks again, Steph. And you be good. And everyone out there, including Steph, stay safe and be healthy. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Yeager CPA Review and More. As a token for our appreciation for your listenership, we'd like to offer you 10% off your next purchase with Yeager CPA Review. Save between $50 to $150 with code PODCAST10. If you'd like more information, look us up on YeagerCPAReview.com. And as always, if you've enjoyed this show, please rate and review on iTunes or your preferred listening platform. Again, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to you tuning in next time.